Global Spiritual Revolution Radio and Media Group here in Long Island, New York. We are excited tonight for another broadcast here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. You can call us in right now from anywhere within the United States of America at 929-477-3997. Again, beloved, that is 929-477-3997. Now, if you live outside of the continental United States of America, you can call us in right now at 1, then 929-477-3997. Again, beloved, that is 1, then 929-477-3997. Our theme here at Global Spiritual Revolution Radio and Media Group is to raise the consciousness of mankind to become the consciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can hear us each and every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Talk America Radio Network. Now, the Talk America Radio Network is the new dominant force in conservative talk radio. We are excited here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio to have back with us world-renowned theologian, author, professor, the Honorable Dr. Tex Mars. Dr. Mars, it is such a blessing to have you back here, sir, on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio.
Well, thank you, Bishop Gator. It's great to be with you again.
Oh, it's an honor. I'm excited, man of God. And before we go into the broadcast, can you lead us in a word of prayer as we enter the mind of God tonight for this evening's broadcast?
I'd just be glad to. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being here with us. You say in your word that where we are gathered in your name, there you will be also. And Lord, Bishop Gator is seeking to change the world in your image to increasingly give people the vision and the means. And of course, you provide the Holy Spirit to guide us to victory, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for what's going to happen tonight. And we appreciate all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Mars. All right, 929-477-3997. If you live outside of the United States of America, that's 1-929-477-3997. And we have our regular listeners online from more than 150 nations around the world. Amen. Dr. Mars, let's get into the topic tonight, the fall of the deep state industrial complex. Again, the fall of the deep state industrial complex. And for our listening audience tonight, man of God, what is the deep state? Define that for us.
Well, you know, the deep state is the intelligence services of the United States in combination with those of many other countries. They all work close together. But what we have really, we think that when we vote for president, the president, well, he has all the power. We think he can do whatever he wants. He can appoint the people in the office that he wants to, and they will be confirmed by the Senate. And around the world, there are various, agents. In other words, the presidents, prime ministers, premiers, and so forth, chancellors, who serve their country, and that no one tells them what to do. But we have seen in our case in the United States, we have seen over our lifetimes, we've seen the fact that the presidents of the United States have little powers.
Right.
Now, we think of them as the great powers. We think of, a John F. Kennedy, a Harry Truman, a Bill Clinton, a Barack Obama, and, of course, the Bushes, and now Donald Trump as having great power. But we've already seen the limitations on their power, and it seems to us that there is some evil force behind them, telling them what to do.
Yes,
and I think we need to understand, before we can solve and cause the deep state to fall, we're going to have to understand what it is. But in the United States, we have they say we have 17 different intelligence agencies. 17 different intelligence agencies. Now, few people know of, but two: the FBI and the FBI and the CIA.
Yes.
And of course, we've had these since, especially since World War II, the CIA. The FBI we've had since the 1930s. Before that, we had no such animal. We didn't have these deep state agencies. But they have gotten so powerful that let's just face it. The deep state agencies we're talking about now, these intelligence agencies, they all work together. By the way, they've now been joined by the National Security Agency. And the National Security Agency has over 50,000 employees.
Wow.
They have a huge complex in Virginia, and they've just opened up a $2 billion complex in Utah. And they're supposed to be watching over our cyber, commands. In other words, they have the authority and the power to wiretap everyone on earth. They listen to every conversation. Their master computers and recorders listen to every conversation you and I have. And think about it. We have 325 million people in America, and that seems to be impossible. But they have the capability. We have spent billions and billions of dollars on the National Security Agency. It's now headed by General Mike Rogers. This agency is so fantastically huge. They can go back and pick up some conversation you had perhaps 7 or 8 years ago, one conversation. And this is what they have done with the Trumps, of course, the Trump's family and the administration. And that's what they're talking about, this unmasking of people.
Yes.
But they claim they get their authority from a judge. There's a special court that gives them authority to not only wiretap our telephones, but also our computers, our internet, everything that we say on the internet.
Yes, sir.
Basically everything that you do, everywhere you go. And now they're putting already many of our devices, home devices, refrigerators. Toasters, all of these have chips in them, and they can hear you. Your TV can listen to you, has a camera inside it. So now, no matter what you do in your home, they can watch you. It's just like 1984, literally.
Right.
But the question is, why this incredible apparatus? You can read 1984, you can read Brave New World, but Bishop Gator, there's nothing like this there. There's
nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Of course, Donald Trump doesn't know when he's being recorded.
No.
He sends an email to the the Prime Minister of Great Britain, and it comes out, the whole transcript is printed up in the New York Times.
Oh, my Lord.
So, oh, yes. And so everything is being watched, being recorded. But we have to ask the question, who is watching over us? Who really rules us? For example, Donald Trump complained about his attorney general. And this very morning, he complained.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And he said he was unhappy that Attorney General Sessions had recused himself from any mention of or any work on the Russian situation, this Russian myth or theory.
Right.
But the interesting thing about that is, why did he do that? Well, he gave authority on that to his a deputy attorney general, a man named Rosenstein.
Right.
Now, Rosenstein was appointed by Obama. So Rosenstein is a deputy, and Sessions says, I won't do anything on this. I'll let you handle it all. So Rosenstein, being given the authority by the attorney general, promptly goes and appoints Robert Mueller, the former head of the FBI, the man who covered up 9/11 and the horrible things that went on there.
Yes.
I mean, this Robert Mueller has a long, bad, resume, and they made him now the arbiter. He's the man who's going to be investigating Trump. He can take as long as he wants, and he has gone out and gotten, right now, he's up to, I think, 15 different lawyers he's hired. Every one of them is a Democrat, and most of them have given money to the Obamas and Clintons. And Mueller himself is a Democrat, and Rosenstein is a Democrat. And Rosenstein continues to work in the Justice Department. Sessions says, I don't have anything to do with it. I'm not going to touch this. You know, and so Trump is very unhappy with him. Trump, you would think, could fire these people.
Or
he could take Rosenstein and say, instead of being the deputy attorney general, I'm going to put you out in an empty building somewhere doing work for me.
Yes.
You know? But he doesn't. He's afraid to. He's been told, evidently, you must allow this. He also is very unhappy at Robert Mueller. Because we know the Russian thing may be fake, it may not be, but what has Mueller got to do with it? Now, the president has the constitutional authority to fire Mueller.
Yes.
And, of course, the Congress would be upset, but so what? They're always upset. They're always making false accusations.
Yes, sir.
But still Trump does not do that. He lets Mueller go on and on and on. Why doesn't he? Why doesn't he, in fact, fire his attorney general? Somebody must have told him, you cannot fire this man.
Right.
Now, he fired the director of the FBI, James Comey.
Yes.
But he sort of got a lot of pain for it. But he did do that. Now, what I'm saying is John F. Kennedy, we know, died because of a conspiracy.
Yes.
Almost every American, probably 80%, the polls show, the surveys, believe that he died as part of a conspiracy.
Absolutely.
We know the FBI were involved in it, and perhaps other foreign governments as well. But it's interesting that Jackie Kennedy, the news now tell us, and the news, in fact, I have an article here from the London newspapers, or Jackie Kennedy, the wife of JFK, within a few days of the murder of her husband, told friends, I know that LBJ was responsible for this. He and his colleagues. In fact, there's an interesting book by the woman who used to be the lover, you might say the mistress of LBJ, here in Austin, Texas, where she says that LBJ bragged to her that he had done it. So he worked with the CIA and the FBI, and they killed JFK. Of course, they claim that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone.
Right.
And we were made to buy that, you know. But it's interesting that the man who was head of the CIA, he had been fired by John F. Kennedy.
Yes.
He had been fired by John F. Kennedy, became the man who was the main point man in the Kennedy assassination probe, you know,
right.
The investigation. So,
jealous.
You know, he's not gonna say anything or do anything.
No.
But basically, if somebody were to try to exert power as president, I believe they would meet a very bad end. For example, Jimmy Carter.
Yes.
Jimmy Carter was a good man who may have been sort of he may not have been the smartest because he wanted a global New World Order and all of that. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission and these globalist groups.
Yes.
But he was an honest man. You know, Jimmy Carter was once asked, where do you think the stock market is going? You know, what do you think about the stock? And you know what his answer was, Bishop? His answer was, I don't know anything about the stock market. I don't even pay attention to it day to day. So he didn't care at all. See, he thought that wasn't the job of the president, I suppose. But now we have a man in Donald Trump who every day brags on the stock market how it keeps going up.
Yes.
But the thing about Jimmy Carter was he was an honest man, and I don't think they could tolerate that.
No.
So the deep state did him in, and they worked with the Federal Reserve and other agencies, and interest rates went up to the moon while he was president.
Oh, okay.
I mean, interest rates for a new home were like 22%.
Yeah, wow.
Well, no one can afford to pay that.
Mm-mm.
And so the economy slipped and fell, and of course Jimmy Carter did. Now, Jimmy Carter was trying to get our hostages back from Iran. Iran held, 84, I think, of the American hostages?
Yes.
And he was trying to get them back. He could not. But meanwhile, Ronald Reagan, working with Colonel Oliver North and other rogues, they worked a deal with Iran with a deep state behind the scenes.
Yes.
And on the day of his election, Iran let all of the 84 hostages go free.
Is that something?
To make Reagan look good, you know.
Yes.
How is it the deep state can accomplish this?
That's amazing.
It really is. And of course, we see this over and over, but whether the deep state is going to do in Donald Trump, I don't know, but they sure look like they're getting close to it. But here's the question. Did Donald Trump not promise us? Remember those huge crowds that he had during his campaign? They kept saying, lock her up. Lock her up. They were referring, of course, to Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yes,
and
sir.
He insinuated in one of the debates, he actually said, if I'm elected, I'm going to lock you up. That's what he told Hillary.
Yes.
But once he was elected, we know of all the crooked deals that Hillary's done. But once he was elected, Trump told an interviewer who asked him, are you going to indict Hillary Clinton for those 33,000 emails and all the other things she's done of a criminal nature? He said, no, I'm not going to. She and her family have suffered enough.
Oh, my Lord.
Whoa.
How can that
be? They've suffered enough. And he went back on his word. Now, I believe that he had no recourse. He cannot indict her. He cannot even tell the attorney general. Why doesn't Sessions indict Hillary?
Right.
She's untouchable. And of course, now one of the and what we see happening is people are being murdered, are being killed by the deep state every day.
Just last week,
a Haitian official from Haiti had been called over to testify to a Senate committee on the corruption of the Clinton Foundation during the Haitian earthquake crisis.
Yes, I remember.
And he came over to America, this man from Haiti, and he was found dead from a gunshot wound in his hotel room 2 days before he was to testify.
Huh. Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, what the Clintons did to the people of Haiti is absolutely disgusting.
It's a travesty.
It's an abomination. It is a travesty. And the thing is that Bill Clinton teamed up with George W. Bush.
Yes.
And both of them. And, of course, George W. Bush, now there's a case for you.
I believe
his entire presidency, he was told what to do by the powers that be.
Yes, I do too. Yes, I believe that.
And you know, George W. Bush had never worked a day in his life.
Mm.
He claimed that he was the president of the baseball team here in Houston, Texas. But in fact, he only owned 1% of the team, and he was given that 1% by a family friend.
Oh,
so he really had no experience at all. But he did become governor. He was the only one that ran in that race. That was a strange thing here in Texas. It seemed that George W. Bush, he seemed very beatable, but no one chose to run against him.
Right.
And so he just got the nomination. These people are very favored. They're the chosen children of the elite. And but the deep state is very, you know, I'd like to tell your audience about something that's going on in the world.
Yes, sir.
For example, the United States is very deeply involved in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
In Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and so forth.
Yes, sir.
Did you know, Bishop Gator, that during the war, in fact, it just opened 2 years ago, the United States went in and built a great embassy along the Euphrates River, just outside of Baghdad.
Oh.
Now, Baghdad has never fallen to ISIS, and it never will. It never will fall. Baghdad, Iraq, because we control that part, and that is considered, well, it's sort of sacred territory. What is going to happen is this, you can Google this up if you don't believe me, but Google up, a U.S. embassy in Baghdad, Iraq. They have built this gigantic embassy. Now, Iraq has around 22 million people.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, New York State is bigger. California is bigger. Texas is bigger than the little country of Iraq. 22 million people. But the United States has built in Iraq the largest embassy in the entire world. Now, that's strange, isn't it?
Yes, that's interesting. That's strange. I never heard of that.
It's even featured on Wikipedia. There's even a picture of it. It's gigantic. It's bigger than the United States Pentagon in Washington, D.C. It's gigantic. Now, and they've gotten 5,000 U.S. employees there at this embassy.
Wow.
But listen to this. There are 10,000 Israeli employees.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Israel is running that. This is the commercial capital of the entire world. Israel has chosen it. They intend to make the Israelis, the Jews, intend to make Jerusalem their world capital. It's going to be the spiritual capital. But their commercial capital is going to be Great Babylon, Mystery Babylon. You know, even the Jewish Talmud, which is their holy law, is titled the Babylonian Talmud. And the Babylonian Talmud was written mostly, the oral part of it was written in the nation of Iraq, which is ancient Babylon. But it's interesting that they've chosen Babylon. You know, the Bible says that Mystery Babylon is the last day's kingdom of Satan.
Yes, sir.
And of his Antichrist.
Yes.
So Babylon the Great, we have built it. We have built the largest. This is bigger than the embassy in Russia, bigger than the embassy in England, bigger than any embassy in the entire world, and there's only 22 million Arabs in Iraq. But we have put the Israelis are part of it, and they are running now a giant oil colossus. And people do not know, that once we conquered Iraq, we very quickly brought in all of our oil men, and we built two great pipelines, one going down to the Gulf there, and the other over to the Mediterranean, which goes across Israel. And so we built these huge pipelines coming from the oil fields of Iraq. And people also don't know that Iraq is the second or third largest oil power in the world. Now, it's interesting. It's interesting to protect those oil fields. We brought in the Chinese.
Yes.
Now, this may also be an unbelievable thing, but we brought in hundreds of thousands of red Chinese.
Yes, sir.
They came in, and they are now guarding those pipelines. And they also have representatives in that huge embassy in Iraq. This is the last day's kingdom, I believe.
I believe that, too, Doctor.
I don't want people to believe me. I want them to go and look up China. Google these words. Look up China,
yes,
Iraq,
sir,
oil contract. And you will find that the Chinese, what they did was America allowed or required the defeated Iraqis to sell all their oil, most of it at least, to China for $2 a barrel.
So
incredibly low price, $2 a barrel. And that is actually on Google. You will see that contract. You'll see that story from different, you know, newspapers where China bought the rights to the Iraqi oil for $2 a barrel. You remember that the vice president of the United States at the time set up an oil, some kind of an oil commission or something. But he refused to give his documentation as to what they were doing. That's what they were doing. They were setting up this oil empire.
I see.
So people don't know this, but now who is bringing this oil to China? Well, huge Rothschild ships of British Petroleum, BP, British Petroleum, come over into the Mediterranean. They land there on the Israeli coast. And then the pipeline goes right to there, and they load up these huge oil transport ships owned by the Rothschilds and the British Petroleum Corporation, and they go across then over to Red China. We have now allowed Red China to become the third largest oil power in the world.
Oh my Lord!
They have the third largest oil company in the world. You can look up top 10 oil companies in the world, and you'll see that Red China owns one. I think it's called, I think it's Petroleo China. I'm not sure exactly.
Yes, I think so. Yes, sir.
But in any case, Red China is getting all this oil. Rothschild and BP are charging them a small amount, and they're transporting it to the Chinese. So the Chinese basically are our vassals. They're going to have to do whatever we tell them to do. Or we'll cut them off because they don't have any natural oil in China. They're a huge country with over 1 billion people, but they have very little natural resources. So they're getting all this oil from Iraq. So the Iraq people are getting nothing, absolutely nothing, from all their oil. They're just impoverished. But this fantastic embassy is being used for all of this commerce, selling of all this oil. And of course, Trump must have been advised of this. He must know of it.
Yes, he has to.
And now, right now, we are, you know, he has said we have become, the United States has become the oil power of the world. That's true.
Yes.
We are producing more oil from shale and such, from fracking.
That's right.
But I wonder about that. You know, I talk to people here and they're having to cut back now on their fracking, and I wonder why. You know, here again, we only allow so much oil to be produced. You know, people don't realize it, but we do not allow oil companies to bring up as much oil as they could.
Right.
You know, they keep the price up by making it scarce. And so this is what is happening now. So we very carefully supervise the oil, and so Russia and China are very much in our debts. So whenever people say, well, Putin controls Trump,
right?
I think the big shots know that's not so. That's not true.
That's not so.
And I really think that Rex Tillerson has been made Secretary of State because of these facts.
Yes.
He was head of Exxon Oil Company, and he is overseeing all this distribution. You know, about 7 years ago, no, it's 2008, so that's 9 years ago.
Yes, sir.
There was found a huge supply of oil in South America in Brazil.
Mm.
And the Brazilians set up an oil company, Petroleo Brazil, and they said that they had more oil there and off of Brazil, off the coast there, than they had anywhere in the whole world. And, and everybody proclaimed that Brazil was going to be the next United States.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden, their oil just ceased. Somebody told them to stop. I mean, they just plain corked it. And they claimed that maintenance problems had been discovered.
Right.
And so they were unable to bring the oil back. So Brazil now is very, very poor. But evidently, the United States has given them orders not to bring up their oil.
Right.
So this is a strange thing. When, of course, we just went over to Poland and told them to come our way rather than Russia.
Right. Yes.
And we would give them all the natural gas they needed.
That's interesting.
And we've also told Japan that we will sell them natural gas because they desperately need it. Because all they've got right now is nuclear power, and that's not doing too well. They want to close down their nuclear power plants, but they have to buy this natural gas. And they either buy it from China at $10 for so many, barrels, or they buy it from the United States for about $5. So Japan has now begun to buy it from the United States. And I think that's why Prime Minister Abe, I guess his name is pronounced, was so very friendly with Trump. People don't know this, but our oil is making everyone cater to us. The Chinese, the Japanese, the Russians, everyone is catering to the United States. Meanwhile, Israel is controlling the United States through this great embassy. And I when people really look at the Trump administration, they have to look, for example, at his son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
Talk about him. He's, man, I've got that, not to cut you off, but this Jared Kushner, he's a mystery. I don't know if he's a Mossad plant why is this young man given this type of security clearance and this type of access to national security secrets? I don't understand, man of God. Help me to understand this.
Well, Jared Kushner, of course, in 2009 married Ivanka.
Yes, sir.
He told Ivanka, she evidently was in love with him, the story goes, but he told her he could not marry her unless she converted to Orthodox Judaism. So she converted in 2009 to Orthodox Judaism. Before that, she would always wear the little silver cross around her neck. It was commonly seen with that, but not anymore. She has three children together, and they're all being raised as Orthodox Jews. Now, Jared Kushner, his father, the senior Kushner, was from New Jersey, right across from New York there, and he was a crook, a criminal, and he was found. He was found guilty of corruption and various things, and he was sentenced to 4 years in prison. And he did spend time in prison. I'm talking about Jared's father. He's a Jewish billionaire, but he spent time in prison. Now, who is the prosecutor who sent the senior Kushner to prison? That turns out to be the big boy, the governor of New Jersey, What is his name now?
Chris Christie.
Yes, Chris Christie. Chris Christie was the prosecutor in New Jersey.
Wow.
Who prosecuted Kushner? So when Trump won the White House, thanks in partial partially to the big boy and Chris Christie.
Yes.
You remember that Trump put him as head of his transition committee to choose, you know, people for confirmation to high post. But all of a sudden, he up and fired Christie.
Interesting.
Well, that was because the junior Kushner wanted him fired. So, Christie's out on a limb. He's nowhere now in the Trump administration. So now Kushner, the younger Kushner, was given a great deal of money by his father, and he began to operate in New York City as a real estate man.
Yes.
And in 2006, he bought up a very famous address in New York, a huge building, and it was, now get this now, it was 666 Fifth Avenue.
Wow.
That literally 666 Fifth Avenue in New York. And he bought that building for the most amount of money that had ever gone toward a building purchase, $1.8 billion. Now, he didn't have the money. He had only just come out of college. He was maybe, 30 years old or so. But
yes.
his father and many other billionaires gave him the money, and he bought up this gigantic building at 666 Fifth Avenue in New York City. That was in 2006. But 2 years later came the real estate bust. And he lost the building. In fact, he lost $90 million. So here he is, a real estate failure.
Right.
With a loss of $90 million on this building. So what would happen to a young man like that? Well, it seems that a gentleman named George Soros gave him the money to go out and buy more real estate. In fact, he gave him $250 million.
Wow.
You know who George Soros is?
Yes.
George Soros is the crummy guy, the Marxist, who's causing all these riots across America and demonstrations.
Yes.
But he's big friends with Kushner. Now, how is it that Kushner is appointed to high office as senior advisor to Trump?
Interesting.
But he's bosom buddies with this George Soros, who gave him $250 million, and he went out and bought more real estate with that. Now, you can check this out. Believe me, I'm telling the truth. In fact, there was a story that came out online just last week that Jared Kushner and his wife Ivanka were in the Hamptons. You know, it's real trendy there, and all the rich people go there. And he went there with all the Obama people, all the rich Democrats, and George Soros was there. So he pallywags with all these people. These are his friends.
Right.
So now, the interesting thing about Kushner is when Ron, I think it is, Ron is his name, the younger Trump boy.
Right.
When he had his meeting with that Russian lawyer, I forget the name of this guy, whatever.
It
turned out there were like eight people that met. So this was an important meeting. He said, according to Ron, he told Hannity, and Hannity on Fox TV, they were going to give him information. The lawyer was going to give him information about Hillary and her shenanigans and how she had been given money by the Russians.
Yes.
But it turned out that who was the one that told Ron about this lawyer? Well, that turned out to be a man named Emil. I think his name was Valorga, is it?
Yes.
Now, Emil's father is a billionaire who, it turns out, has given millions and millions of dollars to Jared Kushner.
Oh.
So, another person who was in that meeting was Jared Kushner. And Manafort, too.
Yes.
So Manafort, who was the campaign manager at the time, and Ron Trump Jr., of course, Jared Kushner was there. He sat in. So it shows the power that he had.
Yes.
But something went on at that meeting. I don't know what went on at that meeting, but something went on. And now that the Senate the hearings are being held for that, I don't know what they're going to find or whatever. But there's something going on there. But
wow.
Kushner, I don't know. I think they're you know, he's a very strange person, very strange. But he's got all of his money from these very rich Jews, and Soros is Jewish as well.
Yes, he is. And I think his father, and I'm so glad that you brought up George Soros, that the father of George Soros was a Hungarian lawyer with close ties to the Nazi Party, okay, before, during, and even after World War II, and helping a lot of high-ranking Nazis to escape Europe. And specifically Germany to go to Argentina. And this brings me to my next question. This is some heavy information, man of God. While God has greatly anointed you for these last days, we have world-renowned professor, author, the Honorable Dr. Tex Mars. Amen. He is the CEO, the president, and the founder of the Power of Prophecy. And please go to his website right now at www.texmars.com. That's texmars.com, TEXEMARRS.com. We are discussing, the man of God is pouring into us some heavy knowledge, amen, on the fall of the deep state industrial complex. Again, the fall of the deep state industrial complex. I have an Adolf Hitler question, man of God, but and who supplied Adolf Hitler with the finances to bring him into power. But when we're talking about the schematics of the not just the military-industrial complex, the intelligentsia-industrial complex, but this deep state. I know the scriptures say that in Job 41 and 1, when he talks about Leviathan, this beast, and then Revelation 2:24. John says, who hath known the depths of Satan? And that the Greek interpretation for depths is deep state. And so when we talk about this compartmentalization of compartments of the deep state, you know, you've got, like you said, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the Pentagon. And then globally, you got MI5, MI6. And what I don't understand, man of God, help me with this. As we are talking about this powerful topic this evening, the fall of the deep state industrial complex here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. We just heard recently, I believe yesterday, that John McCain was diagnosed with a rare form of brain cancer. And what I'm about to say, I'm not casting stones at John McCain. But I had said on the broadcast some months ago, man of God, to John McCain that, you know, you have to stop this corruption, selling weapons on the black market to ISIS. And it was said, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Mars, it was said that John McCain received information, and this is interesting here, received information from a formal British ambassador in Canada at some meeting in Canada concerning information on Donald Trump. And then what John McCain and Lindsey Graham did, they hired, and this is crazy, his own President Trump's own party hired a Fusion GPS. Now, Fusion GPS is a Washington-based firm. That if you can look up their website, is fusiongps.com. And FusionGPS.com, they don't have any links. They just have one page. It says we offer a cross-disciplinary approach with expertise in media, politics, regulation, national security, and global markets. Now, man of God, it's interesting that the founder of Fusion GPS is a man by the name of Glenn Simpson, who used to work for the Wall Street Journal, okay? And his family has close ties to the CIA. So this Glenn Simpson, who created this Fusion GPS to dig off on President Trump, what is a formal fellow at the International Assessment and Strategy Center, which is a CIA front in Alexandria, Virginia. And then what's so crazy about this, Dr. Morris, and correct me if I'm wrong, Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS, which was hired by elements within the Republican Party during the campaign last summer, this Fusion GPS had outsourced the contract to a Orbis intelligence consulting agency in London, England. And this is where the former MI6 spy, Christopher David Steele, comes into play. And I don't understand, man of God, why would the FBI, James Comey, along with John McCain and Lindsey Graham and elements of the RNC hire not just a spy, a contracting spy agency as Fusion GPS, but also would contract a former MI6 spy to dig up stuff on and Donald Trump. And mind you, this Christopher D. Steele, we're talking about the fall of the deep state here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio, I feel the anointing. This Christopher Steele was born in what they call the Aden Federation of South Southern Arabia. He was not born... Interesting. He was not born in the United Kingdom. Anyone can Wikipedia his name. Christopher D. Steele was not born in the United Kingdom. He was born in Southern Arabia. And it's interesting that they're saying that he's still hiding for his life, you know, and that this Christopher Steele was contracted by GPS Fusion, who was hired by James Comey and John Brennan, the former director of the CIA, okay? And this this James Clapper, director of the former director of the National Intelligence, to dig up stuff on their fellow U.S. citizen. I man of God, I'm only 54 years old. I had never heard of this before, where you have elements within the RNC that would hire not just contact the director of the FBI, James Comey, but they will hire a GPS Fusion, then outsource the contract to a foreign entity as this Obrus business. And all of our Global Spiritual Revolution partners, please go on the Obrus Intelligentsia website, which is Obrus, O-R-V-I-S. BI.com. Again, O-R-B-I-S-B-I.com. And to dig up stuff on Donald Trump. And Christopher Steele said he got this information. Check this out, doctor, from unnamed sources. And Vladimir Putin said he's never heard of this guy, and that Christopher Steele is a liar. And so so the deep state, this is wicked. And then you have and this is more scarier. And forgive me for running my mouth, man of God, but you're teaching me. This is more scary than what I'm about to tell you. The Guardian newspaper. And so if all of our Global Spiritual Revolution partners, please look up the Guardian newspaper or the Guardian Media Group in Wikipedia. Its founder was a man by the name of John Edward Taylor, who was a relative going back at least two generations, a blood relative of Christopher Steele. John Edward Taylor, interesting, was a progenitor, or I believe a distant cousin on the bloodline on his mother's side to this John Edward Taylor, who was the founder of the Guardian newspaper. And mind you, John Edward Taylor, it was a group of men they had a secret witchcraft society called the Little Circle. I kid you not. It's called the Little Circle, which was a Manchester, England-based group of not just nonconformist liberals, but those who witchcraft and alchemy. It was a secret society of warlocks. That's interesting that the founding father of the Guardian newspaper, John Edward Taylor, who Christopher Peel, is related to. I find that to be interesting that when we tie these, we connect these dots together. And so you got McCain, and you got the RNC with Lindsey Graham. Then you have James Comey of the FBI, John Brennan of the CIA, James Clapper, former director of national intelligence, hiring a Fusion GPS to dig up stuff on Donald Trump. They didn't find anything, so they outsource it to a foreign entity called the Obrist Society, or the Obrist Corporate Intelligence Consultancy Group, which is funded by both MI5 and MI6 to this day. And Doctor, I just deep state. This is demonic.
This is a deep state. This is definitely the deep state. Oh. Well, you know, John McCain is a very wicked man, and he has been. He and Lindsey Graham both are very wicked, and they have been working with Hillary Clinton for many years now. And they have sent in the. I mean, they're responsible for the hundreds of thousands who are dead in Syria.
My Lord.
Now, I'm not saying that Bashar Assad is a good man, but but he held a grip on that country, and there was a virtual freedom there for people to go and come as they chose. And he also honored the Christian churches there. His wife would often visit the Christian churches in Syria, and so they honored the Christian churches there. So, but Israel wanted Assad dead. They wanted him out of office, and of course they were working with John McCain and Hillary to get that accomplished. And of course they had their we had ISIS, which we controlled. We ran ISIS, and nobody seems to understand this, but I think they're beginning to now, because we read in the paper today that Donald Trump just to finish them up said, no, we're not going to be paying money. We're not going to be funding the ISIS forces within Syria, which is crazy. Who would think that we were funding ISIS? But of course we were. But, you know, John McCain and Lindsey Graham kept going back to Syria and Iraq on these visits, and they would go over to Syria and see, visit their terrorist friends.
Right. You know,
they would call them Al-Qaeda. They would call them ISIS, ISIL, all of these fake names. But basically, they were our friends, and John McCain and Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey Graham, as you know, is a homosexual who says he isn't, but he is. And John McCain is just a very wicked man. John McCain is very, very close to Hillary. Now, notice that his wife, there are women in Washington, D.C., who wear a strange phoenix eagle on their lapel. It has a pearl in its talons, in other words, in its claws. When you see that, you know it's one of Hillary's girls. It's one of Hillary's women, and they meet regularly, they're a secret society of these women that are witches. Now, John McCain's wife, Melissa, or excuse me, John McCain's wife. I'm sorry, I forgot her name now. But the blonde, you know.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I've got it all wrong. John McCain's wife, and she is blonde. But
yes.
During the campaign, she would regularly wear that phoenix bird with that pearl in it. Now, we know that the pearl of great price, the Bible says, is salvation.
Yes.
But during the French Revolution, when the Illuminati, of course, operated and many hundreds of thousands went to the guillotine and such in France, and Voltaire, the atheist, had a little slogan which he used toward Jesus. Of course, he despised and hated Jesus Christ. But he said, "We will crush the wretch." Crush
wow.
the wretch. And his symbol was, Voltaire's secret symbol, was a phoenix bird, because that's considered Satan. The phoenix bird comes up out of the ashes, out
right.
of the flames, and is resurrected. That's Satan. But he said, "We will crush the wretch." And that pearl of great price is what he has in his talons. Now, I would often see John McCain's wife wearing that, as well as the other. It was almost always Democrat women.
Right.
And I would see that with Democrat senators, Democrat governors, and others. And I forget all their names. Debbie Stabenow.
Yes.
She's very much a liberal, and she would wear that.
Yeah.
And there are just a number of them. Of course, the Supreme Court justice, the one that Obama appointed, I forget her name now. She was the one who also was a member of the Belize Society, which is sort of like the Bohemian Grove Club. It was down in Central America, the Belize Society. That were a bunch of witches that would go down there. So,
yes.
but I saw that, and then I was reading an article one day about how Bill Clinton had gone with Hillary and with Lindsey Graham to the Middle East on a visit, and I guess it's to jack up their friends, you know, there, help out their buddies, and assure them that money was forthcoming, their Al-Qaeda and such buddies. But it said that on the aircraft they all had a good time playing cards and such, and that John McCain and Hillary got into a booze contest. They bet each other that the other could outdrink the other.
Oh my!
And so they were, you know, chug-a-lugging. They call it chug-a-lug. That's it. Chug-a-lug.
Chug-a-lug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between Hillary and him, but he was. I'm sure he was very upset that Trump won. Very angry that Trump won the election, so he's I'm sure he worked with them and with this fusion GPS fusion. I forget the name
sir.
Of it now. You mentioned it while ago, but also interestingly enough, you mentioned James Comey is director of the FBI.
Yes.
Comey
yes,
offered them $50,000 to give him a copy of that dossier. The fake dossier that was fake on Trump, but
right.
Comey, I think actually gave out the money. They don't really say, but offered $50,000.
Right.
So Comey is paying for this dossier by this British guy, this fake guy who got it from Russia, and it turns out to be it's a horrible dossier of sexual fiendishness that they made up.
Right.
They created out of pure fiction. To try to harm, so they were all plotting to get rid of Trump. You know, Trump.
Mm.
I will say this: he's a very ingenious and clever man.
Yes.
And it galls me that he doesn't fire Rosenstein. It galls me too that he doesn't fire Mueller. Why would he allow Mueller to go on?
But he has the authority.
I think they have him. They will not let him do these things. But he is finding them, but he's doing it in different ways. I think he wanted Rosenstein and Sessions to resign. He can't fire them. For some reason, he's told it, but he would like for them to resign. So he's acting a little crazy, like, you know, saying that, you know, that you don't really knock the guys that work for you. Bishop, you mean, you know, if you have a problem, you call them in separately. And then if that doesn't work out, then you fire them. But you don't just talk to the press. He talked to the New York Times and told them, you know, I'm not happy with Sessions.
Yeah,
he should not have recused
himself.
But I believe he knows that Sessions recused himself only because he was told to recuse himself. And Trump didn't want him to. Trump didn't want him to do so because Trump, let's face it, the Attorney General always protected Barack Obama.
Right.
Whether it was Elder or Lynch. He always knew that no one could get him because the Attorney General worked for him and covered everything up. Whatever it was, Fast and Furious or whatever the crime was they were doing, he would always, the Attorney General would always cover it up. So Trump doesn't have that. He maybe thought he had it with Sessions.
Right.
But now he's sort of thinking that Sessions is not, you know, he's got a real problem as a businessman, ex-businessman. He doesn't have a lot of people that support him. And the Congress, I'm talking about the Republicans.
Right.
The congressmen are not supporting him either. And so McConnell has not confirmed, what did they say, 26% of Trump's people in high office there? He's got all of these ex-Obama people still working in high office.
And that's by design. I mean, you know, Vladimir Putin said, and he said it correctly, he said that Barack Obama left some political minefields for President Trump. I mean, you know, and now you got Paul and this rhino care, who he's in cahoots with Nancy Pelosi. You know, and she's a congressman. The congressman makes maybe $175,000 a year. But this woman is worth over $65 million. Where is she getting her money? And Chuck Schumer, it seems like they're both sides of the owl, man of God. Their hands are in the till. When you talk about the deep state, and we won't keep you long, man of God, but this deep state, you know, this black budget that the CIA, I read an article today on the Washington Post. They said $52.6 billion. Really, it's probably more than that. But $52.6 billion. So $14 billion goes to the CIA, $10 billion to the National Security Agency, $10 billion to the National Reconnaissance Office, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's
a big
one. National Reconnaissance Office. They're the people that have the satellites overhead. They're, again, they can peer down and see us. They can see you in your backyard barbecuing. Anywhere in the United States.
Anywhere in the United States, you got this National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, which is really not known to the public. And they're almost $5 billion. And the Defense Intelligence Agency, you know, I believe they're around $4.4 billion. So this deep state, I mean, to me, man of God, the only person that can this beast is God himself. I mean, you know, Leviathan, Job 41:1 is described as this beast. I mean, I don't think one man or one church can, I believe, man of God, and correct me if I'm wrong, that only God and God alone can destroy this beast. I mean, my first step as if I was Donald Trump was to cut off their funding. You know, you cut off their funding, you cut off their lifeline, you know, and you talk about the pharmaceutical industrial complex. And some months ago when we had you on the air, man of God, about the deep state concerning the robotic age, the robotic industrial complex. I mean, this is big. I mean, and they want to kill this man. They actually want to assassinate. But I believe the hand of God is on him, and to our global spiritual revolution partners.
It must be. It has to be.
It has to be.
You know, he has got such a horrible array of forces against him. I give the man credit. How could he stay in power? But yes. You know, it must be, you know, I know the left wing press laugh at the evangelicals who support him, but I believe that's the only thing upholding him. The prayer of these pastors and men of God like you, Bishop, are upholding him, because he's got that such a small cadre of these conservatives, in the House and in the Senate, almost nobody there, but maybe Senator Rand Paul and a few others, and he's just beleaguered. I mean, the man must wake up every morning and just say, what have they said about me today? What are they trying to do today?
Exactly.
I mean, it's amazing.
And that congressman
claim,
that was shot. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Steve Scalise. I mean, what is going on here?
Yeah.
I mean, this is madness. And I want to ask you one more question before you leave, Dr. Mars. And we are talking with world-renowned scholar, theologian, professor, Dr. Tex Mars, here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio in Media Group out of New York. And we are discussing with this great man of God tonight the fall of the deep state industrial complex here on Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. What has really bugged me, man of God, about World War One, but World War II, talking about Adolf Hitler. Now, is it true that Adolf Hitler had Jewish blood? There's a lot of questions that are coming in tonight that he had Rothschild blood, in that his mother had some type of a relationship with one of the Rothschilds. That's number one. That's my first question. And number two, who supplied Adolf Hitler with the finances? I mean, because, you know, Germany was in no financial condition. You know, because of the treaty at Versailles after World War One. I mean, you know, and I think that was one of the major mistakes by the Western powers, was to strip, Germany down to almost to nothing. And because of that, they created the conditions to bring forth the Adolf Hitler. So, number one, Adolf Hitler, did he have Jewish blood, or is this a myth? And number two, who supplied the money? In the power to bring this man into office. Very interesting.
Well, first of all, I do not think he was Jewish, or had any Jewish blood in him.
I agree.
I think that is something that maybe the Jews in Israel would like his fans. You know,
right.
Hitler, they're still afraid that somehow a Nazi regime will come up.
Yes.
And so they would want people to think that he's Jewish, and they would hate him if they're anti-Jewish. Now, that seems a little twisted, but I believe that's true. But now, as far as the Jews and the bankers supporting him, we know for a fact that is exactly what happened. He had very little money. He was put in prison for a short period of time in Bavaria.
Yes.
And then he got out, and he was given a great sum of money. There's a book called The Transfer Agreement by Edwin Black.
Yes, sir.
Even Abraham Foxman of the Jewish ADL admits that it's true. And the transfer agreement is that the Jews, believe it or not, the Jews liked what Hitler was doing. They wanted Hitler to abuse the Jews. And remember, this is not all over the world, but only in Germany and maybe a little bit elsewhere in Europe. They wanted him to take the Jews out of society, to make it to where Jews could not own a property and so forth. And then they would all want to leave, and they would they paid Hitler great sums of money to arrest the Jews. So the Jews are responsible for Hitler taking power, and they, under the transfer agreement, they were going to transfer, as it's called, all of these Jews to the Middle East. But World War II intervened, and they were not able to, and so he put them in these concentration camps. They were not death camps; they were concentration camps, and he put them there for the duration of the war. But I believe it was definitely the Jews that wanted him to do this. Of course, you know, they would argue all day with me. That's not true. That's not so.
Right.
But I believe it is. That's how he arose to power. And your second question was.
That was that. Was he to have Jewish blood, and then how did he rise to power? I mean,
when you think that the Rothschilds were the richest men in Germany and in England and in France during those years.
Yes, sir.
It turned out that he allowed the Rothschilds to survive, and they played out the war in France. And the part of France that was not held by the Nazis. You see, there was a part of France that was Vichy France that was they split France up. Not all of France was controlled by the Nazis, but he never touched Rothschild's money. Rothschild left, and they thought they would settle accounts after World War II. But I think Hitler. But anyway, that's what I believe. But Hitler, of course, you know, he's dead and gone now. But we do know we know now that he was working, and a number of Jews they did bring to the Middle East. But he received, you know, ferocious. Blowback.
Yes,
from
he
the
did.
Arabs, from the Saudi Arabian sheikhs, and so forth. They did not want the Jews to come in. So Hitler proposed the island, the huge African island of Madagascar. And he said he was not going to kill the Jews. He said we will resettle them in the nation, the island nation of Madagascar. But the Jews did not want to go to Madagascar. They said, no, we will not go there.
So
he just kept them in his concentration camps. Now, I'm not saying that a number of atrocities did not occur in those camps. They did. But I don't think that was his main purpose. And, you know, after World War II, those camps were taken over in Poland and other places and in Germany by Jews.
Yes, sir.
And they put Germans there, and they tortured and killed many thousands of Germans.
Yeah.
That were not men, women, and children.
Yes, sir.
You can read about this, believe me, in the book by Jonathan Sack, who is a Jewish man.
Yes, sir.
And a former newsman. Jonathan Sack wrote the book, An Eye for an Eye, in which he talked about all the concentration camps that continued after World War II and were run by Jewish commissars and commandants.
And
they made the Germans in all those countries, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Austria, and so forth, give up their property. And many of them had lived there for generations. Give up all their property. And they took them away to concentration camps where they killed most of them. And people don't know, but the Allied powers allowed the deaths of some 3.5 to 4 million Germans after World War II.
Oh, my.
So these are just incredible truths about World War II.
Wow. And Doctor, we have to have you back for a part two to this. And just one, we know you got to go. But this, again, this Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, this is bothering me. I agree with you. I mean, just something, you know, how she gets this, she as well, not just her husband, he gets this type of high security clearance. But you are allowing your daughter, I don't believe, not even Bill Clinton allowed his daughter, or not even none of the Bushes, not even about nobody. And not, I can't recall one president prior to Donald J. Trump that would allow their children, especially their, you know, their son-in-law and their daughter. Something's wrong with this picture, with this Jared Kushner and Ivanka thing. I don't know, it's a crab in the barrel, man of God. What do you think? That bothers me. I agree with you.
Well, it bothers me too.
Yeah.
But whether some people, of course, say that Trump allowed his daughter to marry Kushner so that he could gain more power himself. They said he would not have gotten president unless, you know, Netanyahu is big pals with him.
Yes.
And you'll remember that one of the things Trump did early on was to send, 92 missiles or something over to Syria.
Yes, I remember. Yes,
I don't think for a moment that the president of Syria was using poison gas. He knows better than that.
Exactly.
But Trump sent those missiles over, and that pleased Netanyahu.
Yes.
So, and of course, Netanyahu fully endorses Donald Trump.
Yes.
And Kushner, I think, was sent over to tell the Palestinians to behave.
Yeah.
I think that's what he was told to do. And that's all.
That's all. Yeah. And I don't know why the Democrats want to go and bomb, you know, Syria. It's the Syrians along with the Russians who are fighting the terrorists. They're going after Al-Qaeda and ISIS and ISIL and the Muslim Brotherhood. But for some reason, the people on the left power base, they want a war. This is crazy.
They really do. They want to go after, Putin. They want to go after Syria. I mean, these guys are, they're neocons.
Yes.
You know, a lot of them are. And it's been so great being on with you again, Pastor. And,
Thank you,
I love to be on with you because you know all these things. And very few, God has just ordained you to know these facts. So you can make Christian judgments as a man of God and using these facts to help you. And I think that's the difference. We need, the Bible says we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan.
That's it.
Many pastors are ignorant of them. And they don't know anything about the way the world works.
No,
they don't. I appreciate God giving you this knowledge so that you can use it for his kingdom. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mars. You're my mentor, and I look up to you. And it was such a great honor and a privilege to sit at your feet as we were sitting at the feet of Christ tonight. And we're going to do a part two to this, and we're going to stretch it out on, we're not going to work you too hard. Probably we'll wait another 6 weeks or another 4 weeks. But thank you so much. And we love you here at Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And God bless you, my friend. Bye-bye.
God bless you, my friend. Bye-bye. Oh, my God. And that was Dr. Tex Mars. Amen. The founder and the president of the world renowned The Power of Prophecy. There in the city of Austin, Texas. And all of our global spiritual leaders get an opportunity to go to this powerful website at www.xmars.com. Again, that is xmars.com. That's xmars.com. Again, that's xmars.com. That is www.xmars.com. Buy all of his books, his CDs, his DVDs. Buy everything that this great man of God is offering you. I guarantee you.
Can you feel it?
That is now open.
This is a little thing we like to call.